All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we have some action in the NBA. I can't believe it. This was a dead month as far as I was concerned with games that didn't matter, except for the Knicks are coming on strong, which is fun for the league, obviously, always. And now Steph Curry is out of his mind and LaMelo Ball is back. And for our purposes, that shakes up the MVP odds. That shakes up the Rookie of the Year odds. We're going to get to all that. It's exciting. I guess we should talk about first the Jake Paul, Ben Askren stuff. Well, I know it's your bed ache, Brother Bri. So let's just do that. Let's do it. Why are we waiting? Let's jump right in. Let's deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call bed aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bed ache. It's a bed ache. It's a bed ache.
Bri, I don't even know if we can call this a bed ache because it wasn't agonizing. It wasn't drawn out. It wasn't close. It wasn't anything, but it was a very sad performance by Ben Askren. You had him. I had him. We all had high hopes that it would beat Jake Paul, but it didn't really shake out that way.
Oh, man. It was probably, I gave this out as the best bet last week. I don't know why. I think I wanted to talk about this fight. I've been wanting to talk about this fight for a while, so I figured what better way than to put it out as the best bet. And God, that was maybe one of the worst decisions I've made in my life. Like I told Joel yesterday, like I've made like, you know, this year I had like my best worst decision, right? I bought a Perry painting that was best worst. I have the Askren to me was the worst. And I said, I don't have a best. There's no best for me. It's always best, worst, worst, best is the best for me. So,
well, I'll get to the best. I don't know how much money we put on it, but there's an NBA futures out there that I want to talk about later that we really nail. But that was, it was bad. I don't know. He said, we're hoping to get him on later in the week, but he said he trained for the fight. He trained 11 weeks straight. He didn't listen to his trainers. He knew the overhand right was what he had to look out for. And he walked right into it. It looked like he could have continued. I don't know if it would have mattered, but what bums me out about Askren is I feel like he's taking harder shots and for a longer time.
Well,
and answered the bell.
That's the thing, right? He had, you know, people go back to his fight against, I mean, Masvidal, whatever. You take a knee to the face, anybody's right. Going down, right? But he fought Robbie Lawler. I mean, he was getting pummeled to death on the ground, just right. Strike after strike, and he survived and won that fight. That's what makes this maddening, but it's also the difference, right, between the two sports, between boxing and MMA. Like, if he could go to the ground and still survive, like in boxing, it's a little bit different. But for some reason, though, I felt like I took this fight more seriously than Askren, right? But
yeah,
as soon as the weigh-in happened, we were all kind of like, oh boy, like he's not in good shape anyway, normally. Like, he's not overly muscular, and that's always how he's been. But to see him a little bit, you know, with the love handles were a little bit extra large. But yeah, everything about that was bad. I mean, the production was just crazy, right? It opened up with Snoop Dogg and Urkel smoking weed, De La Hoya drinking, Paul L. Bernstein, right? It was immediately bad for him. All he kept getting asked the whole night was basically if he had a if he had a contact high, right? Pete Davidson immediately knew it was a bad career move for him. Justin Bieber walked off the stage forgetting a song. You were the one that pointed that out. So, you know, and then again, the funny thing about all this is 30 seconds. The reason why this makes this worse for me is 30 seconds into that fight. If you said who's going to win this fight, I actually thought Jake Paul for the first 30 seconds was like, I was like, oh, he doesn't look too confident in that.
Oh, really?
I was like, I would have probably jumped on Askren after 30 seconds. That's how bad of a decision.
I thought I knew right away.
I don't know. His movement looked a little bit off for a second, but then it was like the first few seconds, like asking,
pushed
him a little bit. And I was like, all right, if he can keep it like this, but man, but it just shows, it was just, again,
Parley Kid, Yes. Parlay Kid, this is, I think, a problem with the wrestling, right? Because a dozen years ago, he was the best in the nation. He won the NCAA championship at Missouri. And then where did he go from there, right? Professional wrestling, if you turn pro, it's not exactly the same Greco-Roman style you're used to. So then now this guy, this poor guy, the two things he's going to be remembered for is getting knocked out by Paul and getting knocked out by Masvidal. And both took... under 2 minutes total, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. So he's 153-7 as a collegiate wrestler, which you know is outstanding. Four-time All-American, two-time champion. And, you know, now you look at it and it's his career is defined as the Masvidal fight and this fight, which I didn't watch a minute of, by the way. But it was agonizing for me because you guys started this chatter around 8 o'clock on the East Coast time regarding this fight. And I'm kind of following you guys. And I'm like, when is this fight starting? And I don't think any of you had any idea exactly what time it was starting. And I think it was finally, I just wait for Brothers Bri's text. Like, you know, what he sends when something bad happens, like, you know, F that or something like that. And I know it was over. I knew it was over. That's all.
Right.
That's all I had to wait for was that text. So I feel bad for Askren. A premier athlete in his day, but should we feel bad? What are he taking? About $1 million for both those fights? I mean, combined. So
right, for both
he might be the last one laughing there. It's fine.
Oh, he's gonna he's gonna get a lot more too, right? I mean, if he gets a percentage of some of that pay-per-view, because what do they say, $1.5 million buys or some shit? Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It was one of the most successful pay-per-views of all time. And by the way, you East Coasters, I feel bad, and I don't know why they haven't figured this out. I guarantee there's a good number, 10,000, 5,000, 10,000 people are just like, the main event's on too late on the East Coast. I'm not staying up. I'm not staying up till 1 a.m. And it became apparent that was going to overlap with the Whitaker fight, no matter how many musical acts they put out there. It didn't matter. So that sucked too on the MMA side. All right, Harry, what is your bet ache? Not as a, not involving pugilistic concept, right? What's your bet ache?
Well, mine was, I didn't bet much this week. Didn't bet much, you know, but on Sunday, I really did have a feeling for Martin Truex and NASCAR again at Richmond, where he does traditionally does great. He was running in second, running fine up amongst the leaders. And with about 50 laps to go, he gets a penalty speeding, entering pit road and pushed him back. He loses a lap and then he makes his way back as the race goes, but he makes his way back to fifth. I've got top three. I've got to win. And I had top three on extra points for Sunday. It's my pick of the day. And he finishes fifth because of that speeding penalty entering pit road. Meanwhile, I'd just rather him wreck. I'd rather him wreck than finish fifth.
Oh, that's not nice. That's not nice.
That's the way it goes. That sucks.
Well, speeding should not be a penalty in NASCAR. It just should. I get it. There's safety precautions pulling into the pit stop there. But, I mean, it's like if Mike Trout hit a 550-foot home run, they'd be like, no, that's too far. You can't do like that. Sorry. No,
another silly situation when it comes to NASCAR. Yeah. On a Sunday.
Well, you dug deep for that Truex pick. He was only by far the favorite in the race. So I'm glad you read the same three articles that the rest of us did. Going out on a limb.
Harry's been getting screwed with that, right? This year, like the last couple of races, right? The guys who have won it historically have not fared as well, right?
It's all ridiculous.
I feel like Denny Hamlin's top three every week, but I got to check. All right, Parlay Kid, what's your betting?
Well, hockey again, Sal. I think last week it was my best bet. I've been on a roll with my Sharp Tank. So I went Jets -1.5 over the Ottawa Senators. Mm-hmm. They're up by 2 with about a minute left. And then we saw the rare 6-on-3 advantage with the goalie pulled. Jets commit 2 penalties at the same time. Then with 9 seconds left, that 2-goal lead disappeared. Probably what was going to be the last shot of the game by the Senators. Meaningless goal for them, but not for me as I lose with the Jets -1.5. Pretty tough one to take.
Well, I think the moral of the story is you can't bet the Jets in any scenario. If they're wearing a face mask and ice skates, it doesn't matter. Just don't bet the Jets, right? Enough. All right. Well, that was Bet Aches. It was brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Baseball, full swing right now on PropSwap. You can find the best odds on the World Series futures, division parlays, and fun props like most home runs and most hits. Buy today while the odds are sky high, and the resale on PropSwap next month for a profit when the odds drop. You can turn $100 into $400 and never even touch the ticket. That's the whole thing. You don't want to touch anything these days. And wash your hands. If you don't have to touch a ticket, it's an extra bonus. Sign up for a pre-account. Sign up for a free account using the link propswap.com/Sal, and you'll receive a $50 bonus when you deposit $10. Just go to propswap.com/Sal. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Let's hear the song again, Jim Cunningham.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
I should mention these guys, and they alluded to it every single day, extrapoints.com, giving out winners. Parlay Kid was on a run with NBA player props. Harry's been on a run of late, if it could stay away from this NASCAR, you know, the speeding violations and all that. Yes, Brother Bry's had his run. Do it. ExtraPoints.com. Free picks every day. Martin Weiss jumps in there. Jen Piacenti with Baseball Daily Fantasy. And our friend Jerry Ferrara. By the way, you guys are really excited about the Knicks. Again, this is a dead month for basketball where there's 18 games left. We're pretty much known, especially with the 7 through 10 now that get in. Like, all right, we're watching for positioning at this point, right? For another 4 or 5 weeks. But the Knicks, Parlay Kid, the Knicks on fire, 6 in a row. They play tonight, right?
Yeah, Hornets.
Big tonight. One tonight. Yeah, they got some big games coming up here. Here's what's great about the Knicks, Sal. We talk team. It's a team. I love it. It's great for the NBA. Look, so no matter what, it's great mm-hmm. to have the Knicks. And look, they're not all the way back. I mean, they're 500. I mean, we're not talking about an elite team here. But, man, the NBA is much better when the Knicks are good. And they're good. They're good. They're not great yet, but they're getting there. They're building something. Very exciting, Sal.
Well, you want an exciting first round. I should mention on FanDuel, Knicks 6-point favorite over the Hornets tonight, -230 if you like them.
You know what that means to us in this game here tonight.
Oh, it's a lot. I mean, it's going to be 57
There's a lot riding on this Knicks-Charlotte game tonight, personally.
We have a friend for no reason has become a Charlotte Hornets fan and a LaMelo Ball fan, but he's not playing. We're going to get to that in a second. I don't think he's not playing yet. He's cleared to play, which means he's got a little rehab to do and stuff before he sees the court. But yeah, Knicks -230 over the Hornets if you think they'll make it 7 in a row. But Parlay Kid, you're right. That's what we want, right? A first round matchup with the Knicks and Celtics would be great if they can both jump in that 4-5 if Atlanta drops, right?
It'll be fantastic. And, you know, no team is, you know, we thought the Knicks were going to definitely fall into that 7-10 range, but they're playing well. I know they got some difficult games. That's why the next couple are big with the Hornets, mm-hmm. with the Hawks. They take care of business with those teams. They do have a tough West Coast stretch here late in the season. But look, we know the Knicks play hard every night, so they give themselves a chance to win basically every night.
All right, let's talk about Steph Curry and what's become of him. I mean, he is just phenomenal. He's going nuts. And when we thought the MVP, I mean, he wasn't even in the MVP talk. And hats off to Gina Paradiso. She does the Betting Academy with Kendrick Perkins. She liked him for a while. This is like 4 days ago. He was 100-1 odds on FanDuel to win MVP. And then yesterday, what was he, Jim and Joel? He was 60-1?
Yeah, 60.
60-1. And now I'm looking, he is 18-1.
Wow.
I can't believe he's not even odds because everybody on Twitter and anyone who's ever watched the basketball game now thinks he should win MVP. But Nikola Jokic is still the favorite at -350. Embiid +350. Giannis 16-1. And then Steph at 18-1. Honestly, I don't understand why that's not lower. You guys are drinking the Kool-Aid. You think he deserves it, huh?
Well, he's got a, I mean, he's got a legit shot, Sal. Whatever that sound was, Harry made it great again. But
you did it again, Harry.
What was that? Come on.
We'll get it sent to us.
Yes, yeah, please, Jim, send it to us
again. Asshole.
He doesn't even know when he's doing it now. This is great. But look, it's funny because I looked up after the game last night. I looked up after the game last night and I was shocked that he was 18-1 because I was like, everybody's going to jump on him now. It should be like 3 or 4 or 5, you know, yeah. 3-1, yeah. 5-1. And then this morning I like, is still 18-1. I was like, what the hell is going on? But like, you know, obviously like Jokic last night, that was huge for him, right? So Jokic had a big big comeback win. They should never have won that Grizzlies game. Crazy stats plus double overtime. So his stat line was ridiculous last night. So that really helped him out. If they lost that game, and Curry with the great game he's had, like that could have easily have shifted significantly. But look, they're, you know, if they finish his seventh or eighth spot, look, they're 28-22 with him, 1-7 without him. Their roster is god awful. I mean, he's averaging 40 points a game this month. Like if he can keep this up, I mean, there's, you know, he can definitely easily average 35 plus a game for the rest of the season. You know, if they say in that 7 range, I mean, again, at 18-1, I mean, those odds are a little ridiculous at this point.
Last 5, 53, 42, 33, 47, and 49. He's definitely coming on strong. He's, I don't even know how to gauge this anymore. They don't make the play. Obviously, they don't make the playoffs, so nowhere close to making the playoffs if he's not in the lineup. But you could say that about a lot of these guys. Go ahead, Harry. Jump in.
I'm just going to say, you're right, Sal. Like 11 of the last 12, he's got 32 or more. Next 3 games are against Washington, Denver, and Sacramento. Should light them up. They had 15 wins last year. They're crushing that this year. They're right on the verge of making the playoffs. And they don't have a Thompson, obviously. Wiseman, who was their first round pick, played well to start the season, but he's been hurt and probably isn't coming back for the rest of the season. For Curry to do what he's been doing, it's extraordinary. It's fantastic, especially at his age, too. And Embiid's been stepping it up lately, too, for the Sixers, putting up big numbers. And they look to probably win the East over the Nets. He's got to get consideration, too. But still, the Warriors, 8-26 last year at home, 17-10 this year at home. Curry definitely deserves much of all the accolades he's getting. And he might be right there, second right behind Jokic, who just happens to have survived getting injured. I guess that's the main thing.
So that brings me to a few things. Well, first of all, Parley Kid, does everyone just like the odds or do you think he should win? Is there a good value?
Yeah, I think that's
it.
I think it's great value with the odds just because of the buzz surrounding Curry right now. But we've seen this happen. There's been several players this year who have generated buzz, correct? I mean, so just a couple of weeks ago, I think Brother Brian was like, look at Doncic's numbers over the last like 2 weeks. Like, they're phenomenal. Right. This is incredible. I think it is a little shocking that it didn't come down past 18-1. I think that's where but in terms of him winning, I think it's good value. It's worth the risk. I personally don't think he should win the award at this point. One of the things I would say is he's on a great stretch here, but he is, you know, when we talk about like elite stretches, he's shooting 43% from three this year, right? That's a very good number. 43, you take that any day of the week to shoot 43%. But that being said, it's not like elite level. And somebody said, well, he shoots a lot. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He shoots so much. Mm-hmm. And how about, you know, he did smack down Embiid last night for the award. So I think Harry's mentioning Embiid. I think that was a head to head. Curry's really jumps ahead of Embiid now in my book.
Wow.
But at the same time, you know, Curry is, and he's able to shoot a lot. He's on a great streak. He'll probably cool off here. If he does this for the next 18, whatever there is left, then this is incredible.
There's 59 games left. Some teams have 57 left, but he has 59. Here's what I'll say. There's too many good players. And like I said, this is a dead month. And you got to talk. First of all, you should talk about Steph Curry. He's been phenomenal. But you have to talk about something, right? So this is what we're going to discuss. And there's too many good players and there's one MVP award. And what I would suggest they do, they shouldn't do this, because if they do this, then you can't talk about, you can't have any discussions about NBA in this dead April month. But what they could do is, you know, like the Grammys give out best song, best album, and best record. And it's nonsense because it's kind of the same. Although I could tell you what the distinction is, but it's kind of the same category. I feel like the NBA could do the same. You could do the most valuable player, and that's Jokic, who hasn't missed a game. And there's something to be said for that when the next four guys have missed like nine games each, right? And Jokic is going to, by the way, he's going to win, I think. I really do, because he's going to, the Murray injury is not going to matter. If you look at the stretch, they're going to go 6-2 in the next eight, or in this eight game stretch. So he's going to show that he's the most valuable without the dazzling 55 point games. There's most valuable, I would say him. I would say most durable. That's like the LeBron James award, right? Like the most durable. You give that to somebody else. And the most outstanding is Steph Curry, because he's the best we've ever seen, right? He's the most dazzling. So maybe he's the Allen Iverson award. And LeBron James is the most durable. And then the most, you know, LeBron, like Michael Jordan is the most valuable, right? Maybe you split it into three, because there's many good players. And Pauly Kidd, you mentioned it. Like, people are rooting for players and not teams in this day and age.
Right. That's the problem. I mean, but I think that the same could be said. I've been saying that in baseball really more forever, because baseball is really the one true sport where we see it, where you got a guy, Trout, whose numbers are always phenomenal, but if he's on a last place team, he's not the most valuable. He might be the best player, but he's not the most valuable player. So this goes back to what we've been saying for a while. And look, here's another thing. How about coaches? Where's the coaching here? Do a better job of trying to stop this guy. If you're telling me he's got no other talent on the floor, how is Curry scoring like this? These coaches got to do a better job. They got to. You might say, well, he's indefensible. He's shooting from 10 feet outside. Well, double him up at half court. Make him get rid of the ball. Something.
It is kind of embarrassing, and his ball handling seems to be better than ever, right? He's
going
on some kind of crazy, crazy clinic night after night and getting to every shot he wants, but they'll still have to go in. It's nuts, and he's taking a ton. Rookie of the year, what do we have? Joel Solomon, I checked it yesterday. Edwards was minus 210 2 days ago to win rookie of the year. Then it went off, and I feel like FanDuel and the books got wind of it before it was even announced that LaMelo Ball is cleared to play. Then it was off for a while, and now LaMelo Ball is minus 210. Is that right, Brother Bri?
Yeah.
To win rookie of the year.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Great. Whoa. Minus 300.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Shit.
LaMelo Ball minus 300. Anthony Edwards.
I told you guys.
These lines are horse shit.
Why, Harry? What's the matter? You don't like it?
He hasn't played just because he's announced he's coming back.
That's better for you, Harry.
It switches that much. Anthony Edwards has been fantastic, especially the last since the beginning of April. He's averaged 23 a game. Nine of his last 11, 19 or more. I think he deserves it. He's been playing the whole season, too.
Interesting. Well, he hasn't even, Bri, what was he before he got hurt? Like minus 600?
Yeah, it was like minus 600. And then when we did this the last time, as soon as Ball got hurt, he was like plus 200, and Parley Kid and I both liked that at that point in time. But look, I think the thing is, like, you know, Edwards' numbers.
The line shouldn't move like that, Brian.
Yeah,
the line shouldn't move that much.
It shouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, I agree that maybe it's a little bit out of whack, but like, and Edwards' numbers have been good. It's probably, again, it's a little bit more based on volume, but, you know, the one thing with Edwards is, like, since Ball has gone out, there hasn't been that, you know, Edwards had some crazy, you know, big moments, I think, when Ball was playing, but over the last few weeks, like, the biggest thing Edwards is known for is the whole A-Rod comment, right? About the Timberwolves. That's like the main thing. There hasn't been any crazy highlights around Edwards recently. Again,
he was smart not knowing who A-Rod is. Who wants to know who A-Rod is? He was smart.
He was smart not knowing who someone is?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, if especially if Ball comes back now, and, you know, the Hornets have struggled a little bit. So if Ball leads them back to a couple more additional wins, I think, you know, he'll get the benefit of the doubt. I just don't think Edwards over the last month has, even though, again, his numbers for rookie have been great, I don't think they've stuck out. I don't think he just hasn't stuck out enough.
Well, here's the thing. Why the Timberwolves are 15-43. They're in dead last in the West.
Yeah, they're
awful. I guess tied with Houston now.
They're awful.
Why don't they do a thing like, wink, wink, you're going to take 30 shots a game, and we got to get you some 40-point games in here just to, you know, re-energize the franchise here. We're not doing anything. We're not going to be around the next month. We're not playing in the 7-10-8-9, whatever matchup there. I feel like this is the time of year where you can kind of take over because you're losing by 20 every game anyway. Who gives a crap? So he's not helping himself. What I want to know is how many games does LaMelo have to play, Parlay Kid, to win this thing?
Well, look, when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you know, Dr. Parlay Kid said he'll be back. He will be back. Harry, you remember me saying that. I said he'll be back. This injury might not be as bad as we said. I said, he'll be back. I thought at that time, I always said maybe if he played 5 or 6 games, he'd get himself back into the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe he's going to get more than that. So I think he's got this award. As long as he plays okay, the Hornets win a few games. And probably should have jumped on him a few days ago.
That's the thing. It's a wrist injury. So maybe what if he's not the LaMelo Ball we knew, right? What if he comes back? The shot's a little off. I mean, is he better off just not playing the rest of the year to win this award? We're playing 3 games? I mean, I'm not sure.
It is a good question.
All I want to know is, does Dr. Parlay Kid prescribe medical marijuana cards?
You do it, Parlay Kid? It is 420. This is Parlay Kid's favorite holiday. Dr. Parlay Kid. It's 420 and Hitler's birthday.
It is 420.
So he's very excited.
TPK.
You know, I didn't even know that, Harry. You know what? I mean, come on, Harry. Jeez.
DRTPK. So
all this guy thinks about. It's just, it's become sad. This is, it's really
just
a shame.
I'm just happy he has his eyes open today.
You're a doctor.
At this point, I mean, it's 9 a.m. It's already very late in the day. I'm going Jokic and I'm going LaMelo. I think those are the winners. I don't know if I know that I'm not saying anything special there, but if you parlayed those, do they even let you parlay those anymore? 350 and 300. Yeah, no, you can't do it, right? You can't. But so if you bet them separately, eventually you get a payout of a little like -150 or something. But those are mine. Who wins it though, Parlay Kid? Real quick, do you think Curry wins? You like LaMelo to win.
I like LaMelo and I like Jokic, like you're saying. So, okay. I mean, without Murray,
right?
He's the guy now. He's the guy. So, and a spectacular game last night. So, we talked about Curry. Jokic, you know, matched him point for point last night. So, and I think he's going to continue to do that. So, I like him.
Denver at Golden State Friday. Do we even know this?
There you go.
That's a
big
one.
This is where the Curry at 18-1 it's good value. It is great value. It's not just good value, it's great value.
Bri or Harry, does Curry win it, or is it just fun to say 18-1?
Yeah. I mean 18-1. I mean, I think Jokic, just because he's been so durable and his numbers have been great and they're winning, I think it's hard for Steph. But at 18-1, it's worth it. I wouldn't bet Jokic at -350. I would bet Curry at 18-1, but I still think Jokic is winning.
Gotcha. Harry.
I think it's fun too. But again, boy, it's something when they had 15 wins last year and they're going to have over 30. And to double and even more than double, it's pretty impressive.
I know it's something, but we got to pick one. That's the problem here. That we keep saying this. But Harry, what was this thing? Joel Solomon alerted me to Joel, what were you saying about Harry and the Phoenix Suns and they don't care? The fans.
I was saying to Harry that the Phoenix Suns are nearly the top team in the Western Conference and might not be getting enough attention. And our resident Phoenix and Harry, I said, what's the vibe there? And I mean, Harry, it doesn't seem like there's much excitement.
Not much, you know. Fifth biggest city in America, but it's a pretty transient city where a lot of people aren't from here. The fan, it's not been big. It's not, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since 2010. This is one of the best teams they may have ever had. I think even when we talked about MVP, Chris Paul doesn't get enough talk about maybe. He's like, last time I checked, 140-1. I mean, obviously he's not going to win it, but he's been tremendous for this team. And the vibe isn't here really, Joel. Not really.
Well, Harry had an idea how to change the vibe and go back to, you know, these 90s exciting Suns and fill the arena. So he's going to step up. He wants to pitch them an idea.
What is it, Harry?
Yeah, where, you know, I might not even have to put a full costume on with my chest hair blaring out, but I put a wig on, sort of like a costume of the old gorilla. And then I'm sitting behind the visitors' bench during the playoffs, going wild, distracting the players, distracting the team. And I'm the gorilla. I'm gorilla number two for the Phoenix Suns.
You're the Phoenix Suns.
Do you really
Suns?
Need a costume, Harry?
Gorilla number two. Gagorilla. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it in the budget for 37 broken trampolines? I mean, I don't know how they're going to pay for this. Can you dunk off a trampoline?
Joel and I were thinking extra points paid for this. I don't know.
Pays for what? A costume? I think the league might have to agree to this. That's Harry's go-to. Actually, this one will pay for this. Like, oh, it seems like the team.
Where the old Sun, the gorilla has the jersey, the warm-up jersey, the white. Yeah, okay.
On the ground.
That would be not, you know, and I'm distracting the team, helping the Suns out.
You did have the Suns in our extra points futures pool, or draft, rather. You had them to win the West?
To win the West.
All right, go ahead, brag a little. 22-1. It's plus 950 now on FanDuel. Mm. But I don't know. I watched them. They're good. They're fun. I don't think they're deep enough for the West. I actually watched like two of them.
Nice comeback last night against the my extra points pick was the Suns plus 3.5 to beat down Milwaukee. That's nice.
You were nervous about that though, right, Harry? The overtime? Once it went to overtime, you're like, oh fuck.
He doesn't get nervous.
I didn't even see that it went to overtime. I just saw the final.
How is that possible?
I guess like he said,
I didn't bet last night.
I get like Joel just said, nobody in Phoenix is paying attention to these Phoenix games. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Not even the gorilla himself. hey, let's talk baseball, but let's talk what FanDuel is doing with baseball. We've had that dream tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded on FanDuel Sportsbook. You get more than one shot to swing for the fences. FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and it only gets better from there. Once you have an account, you'll have access to same game parlay insurance all season long. That's up to $25 back in site credit each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets. Same game parlays. They get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code against all odds to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code against all odds. Either of you guys, what do you have baseball wise for your extra points pick of the day? Anybody have someone has baseball? No,
I was thinking about taking the Dodgers today minus 1.5. Sal, you know,
that's an early game, right? They lost.
It's an early game, so I mean,
they've been killing everybody.
Stay away from it, but
right.
If anybody hears it, minus one, look, Dodgers two losses in a row, they bounce back in a big way today.
Arias against Gonzalez, minus 1.5 is minus 110. That's a good one, Parley Kid. That's an early start.
I've got the Reds. I got the Reds over the Diamondbacks.
Castillo and Gowan, right? So what's that? Yeah. Minus 156 right now. I'm seeing on FanDuel.
I got it minus 136, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stealing. Maybe you got the gorilla discount or something.
Arizona giving up the most runs in baseball.
Yeah, I know it. I was on the wrong side of them. Pauly Kid, would you trade a Knicks first round playoff win? They advance to the second round, but your Yankees don't make the playoffs.
I'll make that trade.
Wow. Yeah. Brother Bri,
make that trade.
Brother Bri, you take that?
Yeah, I would take it. I would take it too. We've had good runs of Yankees here. Although this is
the Yankees might need something. Yeah, they might need something dramatic to happen to shake things up in this organization a little bit. So,
really, go ahead. Let's hear it. What are you, the Harry dresses in a gorilla costume, or it has to be more drastic than that?
No, I mean. Look, I'm not into firing coaches too often, and I still don't. I can't blame Boone. It's the way this team has been constructed. It's just, you know, they're bad and they're boring on top of it, you know. So You know, a couple of years ago, it seemed like we had some young talent coming through. We had some kind of no-name players stepping up. And now you just, this team is uninteresting right now, but it's so early. You can't bury them. I think Brother Bri was sending some odds around about the Yankees last night. They're still like the favorite to win the division.
They're minus 130 right now to win the East, which is, this might be the last week for that. The Red Sox, it just sucks.
Red Sox were like plus 325 or something last night.
Plus 320 now. I hate it. I hate this. I hate both those teams. So why does the Yankees go away, Harry? The Red Sox have to jump in. That's no fun for us. Why couldn't the Orioles continue their hot run from going 3-0 or whatever to start the season? But it is entry. Go ahead, say it, Parlay Kid. You want Cashman out? That's fine.
I mean, look, it's run its course, right? A little different blood in there.
Right.
But you know, without the old man Steinbrenner around, you know, it's just it's different here. These guys hang around and, you know, the Yankees, look, when you have a budget like they have, this should never happen. I mean, but again, I have faith that they'll turn it around. Mm-hmm. But who's to say they don't have another slide like this or during the season?
Are you more disappointed, Darren, with the production on offense or just the starting pitching?
The starting pitching to me is it's not what we want it to be. Their bullpen is always pretty solid. I really blame it on the bats. I mean, when you pay these guys, these hitters, what you're paying them, they're not, besides Cole, and Cole's earning his money, the Yankees aren't spending a crazy amount of money on any pitcher, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
They're not. So it comes to me as, but they're spending a lot of money on the Stantons of the world. So
yeah.
Those guys,
home run or bust, it seems like a lot.
That's exactly what it is.
And LeMahieu, who's been fantastic, was a great pickup for him. He hasn't been good this year.
He's going to be fine. LeMahieu, do not worry about LeMahieu. His numbers will be
there.
Don't
worry about LeMahieu, Harry.
should Hicks be batting third?
No. This is, look, they gave, and Brother Bri knows I can't stand Hicks.
Boone loves
him. They gave him the 7-year, $70 million contract. You know, the baseball nerds of the world were like, oh, it's a good deal, you know, because he's this like, you know, analytics type of player. But if you watch him every day, you're like, this guy's terrible. I don't care what anything says. He's just not. He's a fourth outfielder. That's what he is.
Joel Solomon, you became a Yankees fan at the ripe age of 30 years old or something like that. What are you? You're not happy with this team either, the way their bats are weakened.
How do you not make a lineup change? And this is why the Parlay Kid is always right. They don't shake anything up. Hicks is batting 160. Frazier's batting 167. They refuse to make a lineup change. And like we said the other day, that's why Jay Bruce was like, yeah, I'm going to get the hell out of here. This is, I've had enough.
Jay, they couldn't even get him in that bat on Sunday. My God, a Yankee legend, Jay Bruce. What the hell? Whatever. Just see him with the other monuments in the outfield.
Joel, is that true though? You didn't become a Yankee fan until later on.
We took issue with Joel on extra points on this. So he just, I just don't think you can become a Yankee fan when you've been a baseball fan for 10 years, right? In those decades, you have to learn to hate the Yankees no matter where you move to. Again,
listen,
my
father came back from a business trip from New York. And he brought me.
But Joel, I was young. I was young and dumb. I had to be a Cowboys fan. I'm saying you had 10 years of rooting experience and then made a decision to be a Yankee fan.
But I moved to Hofstra, which was like a hotbed of Yankee fans.
There you go.
I was surrounded by it. And I mean, what am I going to keep rooting for the Pirates? That would be like, it was rooting for a sinking ship to sink. So
right. Interesting analogy. All right.
Now I'm moving to Phoenix with Harry and I'll be a Diamondbacks fan.
You'll be the Phoenix Suns gorilla.
Harry,
come on out, Joel. Come on out tonight. We're going to, we got a suite tomorrow night for the Coyotes. Come on out, Joel.
You freaking Coyotes killed me last night, Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Minnesota's killed him this year.
Yeah. Well, you talked me up about the goalie. I get in there. Wow. What's his name? Crumper. Oh, he's back.
Kemper.
Yeah, Kemper. Gives a shit. All right, move in for the Yankees. So we picked Cy Young. I think we must have done this. When did we do this, Bri? March 20th?
March like 2nd.
Oh, earlier.
We did the Cy Youngs early, yeah.
About 6 weeks ago, we put our Cy Young picks in. Bri, you and I like DeGrom. I mean, that's whatever. We're not that's not saying much there with DeGrom. Yeah. He's great. I didn't know he would bat like 500 this year. That surprised me right there. But you know, somehow escaped with a win Saturday. That's something else. 17 Parlay Kid, 21 outs, 17 by strikeout. The biggest percentage since 1900. That Rockies lineup is dismal, but still pretty good. What we get a plus 380 is plus 220 now.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom. So now these guys are three or four starts in. You know, we need some stuff to talk about. Let's talk Cy Young. Harry, you had Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
And what odds did you have for him?
I think Broadway, Brian, plus 330, something like that.
Yeah, I think he's still about the same.
No, he's plus 3. Yeah, he's plus 350 now. Oh, that's what he was?
Yeah, he was 330, I think, to start the season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought Harry was about to brag about something amazing. But he is someone I would throw in there. Not great odds, but 10-plus strikeouts in four straight starts, right?
Yep.
Harry, this is your guy. You want to talk? I don't know.
He vanished.
Oh, that's it. He's gone. See ya. That's it. Maybe the costume arrived from Amazon, the gorilla costume. You got to pick it up at the door. All right. So Harry likes Shane Bieber. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
He is back.
All right, Parley Kid, jump in there. I have a couple more that I would add, but who did you like for Cy Young?
We're talking value. I mean, like you're saying, I mean, you stick with DeGrom while he's still plus 220. That's a no-brainer. But let's take another Met here, Sal. 35-1.
I like
Long Island's own Marcus Stroman.
Yes.
35-1. Size 3-0. His ERA is under 1. I know his strikeout totals aren't great, but the Mets have some analytics guys behind the scenes, supposedly, that are really working with their pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
That really is pitching to contact. It's been smart. He's got a lot of personality, and he's on this is his 1 year deal, Sal. He's got a lot to pitch for this year in terms of money. Okay. So I think Stroman can keep this rolling, and the Mets are really, really good. They're so good. He's going to win 20, 25 games, this guy. It's going to happen. So at 35-1, jump on it now. Marcus Stroman, Patchogue native, hometown of Frankie Crispino. Do it. Let's do it.
And maybe a gold glove winner. Who knows? Our poor Parley Kid. He picked the wrong New York team to not make the playoffs. He was all over, remember, in our previews that the Mets aren't making the playoffs. The Mets are going to go 7-6 and make the playoffs by a percentage. They're not going to get to play many more games. All right, Harry, you're back. I was trying to tee you up for the Shane Bieber talk.
No, I got a new guy up. I like someone else now, too.
Go ahead. Who is it?
I like Tyler Glass now of the Rays at 5-1, 2-0, 24 2/3 innings, only 9 hits, 2 earned runs, 36 Ks. He's getting 13 Ks per 9 inning average, 0.73 ERA. And he shut down the Yankees on Saturday, my extra points pick. Give me Tyler Glass now at 5-1. He's been fantastic.
All right. Well, Bri, I'm looking for like long range stuff, right? That we missed on, that the guys are coming on. But who do you like?
I'm not giving you anything too crazy either. I mean, I think it's like you got to look at guys, especially for the Cy Young, right? Even just now with 3 or 4 starts, you got to look at guys who strike out guys pretty much at this point. It seems like. So, yeah, I was trying to find some big odds. I mean, American League, definitely something wacky could happen. Like Duffy, I would definitely look at him, but right now they don't have odds up for him. I'm not really sure why, but I would look at Bauer. Just because Bauer's plus 750. Don't get me wrong. I think DeGrom, if he's healthy, he kind of runs away with it. It's funny being a Yankee fan. Like it's hard for me because I really do. I really, really enjoy watching DeGrom games. Like if the Yankees are on and DeGrom's pitching, like I have no problem the Yankees have been so
boring. Don't fight it, brother. It's well, fun it's to funny, watch.
But
you should feel bad for this guy. Everyone should feel bad for this guy.
Well, what's great to watch is, I mean, I love the idea of like, all right, DeGrom, just keep throwing, you know, striking out everybody and just, you know, put up zeros across the board, but the Mets not hitting. I love that. Like, I just love watching those games because I just, it's so funny that, you know, you could potentially win another Cy Young winning like five games. But, but Bauer's last three, jumping back to Bauer, Bauer's last three starts, only he's given up three runs. He's not going to give up. He really is just not going to give up many runs at Dodger Stadium. He has a 0.6 whip. So,
crazy.
I mean, his numbers, you know, from last year and this year are pretty, pretty phenomenal. So I think he'll probably hover. I mean, him and DeGrom will probably hover around, have similar numbers. But at plus 750, I like that.
That's a good one. All right, I'll throw some long shots at you. Max Scherzer, obviously, we know what he's about. 24 strikeouts and three starts. You can get him at 18-1 for the Nats. Jack Flaherty, his Cardinals team, I had high hopes for them. He's 22-1, 3-0. They hit for him. 21 strikeouts and 21 and a third innings pitch and a 1.12 whip. Those are the two I'll throw at you. And I do like Bieber, although you don't get incredible odds there. He's coming on. But anyway, so how many starts do these guys usually get? 27, 28 in that range? Mm-hmm. Or is that too many?
It's like close to 30.
Yeah, close to 30. All right. 30. So 15% in. We're trying to give you some value there at the Cy Young and Cy Young Awards. Interesting. What did I want to say here, Harry? Oh, this is what I want to say. The last, you know, who's last, at least last listed in the American League for Cy Young at 100-1. Did you see who it was?
Robbie Ray.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Went five innings of no hit ball against the Yankees.
And then you mentioned it, and that was it. All you had to do was mention it.
And then he gave up the two, and then he gave up the two run homer, and then but still pitched very well in that game.
All right. Hey, it's time to take a ride on the Riverboat Casino. Each week, the degenerate trifecta and I set sail, tackling pretend propositions as they relate to sports and pop culture. Joe Buck, Fox's Joe Buck, is filling in as host of Jeopardy. Now, Harry is very upset because this means, I mean, we all knew that Aaron Rodgers, it's on a rotating basis here, but Joe Buck is filling in as host of Jeopardy. You're not happy with this, Harry?
Boring.
Oh, come on. I love Buck. He's fun. Nah. He's kind of perfect for it. But it got me asking, got me thinking, which sportscaster would you love to see in the permanent role as Jeopardy host? All right, Harry, if not Joe Buck, then who? We have odds. Joe Buck, 3-1. Aaron Andrews, 7-1. Tony Romo, 10-1 odds. Akeem Tlaib, 25-1 odds. Or the field at -250.
I do love Tlaib as an announcer, but I'm going to go with... How about Bill Walton off the take the part of the field? Bill Walton would be tremendous. I mean, I know everything's set in time. You only have a certain amount of time to get everything done. That's something I'd really worry about Walton, especially when he's in after the initial beginning and they come back from commercial and they talk to everybody about, you know, whatever little story they have. I can just see him going on and on with somebody who went to maybe different countries or from Chile or went on vacation. I could see him going on and on again with everybody and taking too much time, but I think he'd be fantastic and be a lot of fun.
All right. It's a nice gift to Bill Walton on 420. All right. Parlay Kid, who do you like?
Who is Tony Romo at 10-1?
Nice.
Sal, witty, charming, handsome, and probably could even guess the questions without even having to read them. So Tony Romo, 10-1.
I like it. Happy birthday, Tony Romo, tomorrow, right? I think, Wednesday, 21st. All right.
All right.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Happy birthday.
Brother Bri.
Harry's is funny, the Bill Walton, because, I honestly think he'd probably get through one question. I mean, he's probably one of the few who smokes more weed than Harry, so...
Yeah, he doesn't drink as much.
But I'm going to go with the field. I'll say Jim Nantz. To me, it just seems like the perfect fill-in. He's kind of like Trebek a little bit. Like, you know, he'd start off every show with his hello friends. And it's a great personality to host. Watching Jeopardy and golf, it's different, but I feel like it's the same type of people I feel like watching it. I don't know if I'm making fun of both
cerebral type of people.
Yeah, I just think in terms of if you're looking for a replacement for Trebek, somebody mm-hmm. who could be very comparable to him, and you wouldn't be like, they even though he's pretty much the same, you'd still love him. So I'll go with Nance there.
I mean, obviously Romo's my favorite, but I think as a Jeopardy host replacement, Gus Johnson.
Oh yeah,
I'd love to see Gus do anything. I mean, the excitement. I don't know if we could take a full 30 minutes of excitement, right? I might be like, "Yes, you hit it! The Battle of Lake Titicaca! Oh boy, we'll be back in 2 minutes." Like, it might be too much to handle, but I would love to see Gus Johnson. Jim Cunningham, what do you think? You have an answer here?
I think after this weekend watching that Triller event, I mean, there are a lot of choices. There's the Crime Faces guy who I love from Instagram.
Yeah, he's
good. Oscar De La Hoya, the Goldenschlager boy. And but I'd have to go with Snoop. I mean, Snoop's the only one. He's the greatest.
I forgot. You're right. Snoop is a legitimate sports
or Ric Flair. Ric Flair screaming during the slapping contest was great too.
Wasn't Snoop doing one recently? He was doing like the card game. He was doing something.
The Card Sharks. Yeah, he did do Card Sharks.
Was it Card Sharks?
Right. I think so. Right?
Maybe. You know what they're doing? They turn the card over. Whatever that is. Card Sharks. Doing that.
Was Snoop the only one who came out like it was a positive thing after that? After the Askren,
tested positive, Snoop, but yes,
Snoop was the only one where I was like, it doesn't look bad for him. He seemed like he was okay, and then everybody else just like bad career move.
He's kind of bulletproof at this point, Snoop. I love him, but yeah. I mean, not literally bulletproof. I don't want to challenge anyone out there, but any of his enemies. All right, Joel Solomon, you want to jump in? You have an answer?
I mean, as great as it would be for Marv Albert, because every answer he would go, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be Mad Dog Chris Russo or Mike Francesa. I mean, they would introduce the topic and it would be, U.S. presidents. And then, the U.S. presidents. Let me tell you the thing about U.S. presidents. And they would never even ask the question.
That is a terrible, terrible answer, Joel. What are you guessing? The Byzantine Empire? Are you kidding me right now? Yeah. Mad Dog would be great. That'd be fun. All right. Well, sorry, Harry. You're stuck with Joe Buck for a few weeks here.
Rodgers, by the way, Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic.
He was fine.
Oh, he's good.
Every article I saw, I don't like him
on the football field. He can retire, but he's smooth.
This hilarious moment with Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy. And then I click it on. It's like, oh, okay. That was fine.
Was it the one when nobody got the Green Bay Packer question? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's fine. But that was more the contestant that did anything there, right? Yeah. He wrote that. Interesting. All right, guys. Sharp Tank, early week Sharp Tank. You're going to do this. You're going to do this again on Thursday. What is your best bet? You're going to give me your best bet, and I am going to buy one of them. Not too great to end the week. Joel Solomon laughed that we should make a T-shirt out of the graphic that laid out the best bets. featuring Brother Bry's Ben Askren pick. Harry, you had a bad one too. Who did you have?
Truex.
Pauly Kidd, didn't you have Whitaker? No. What was yours on that?
No.
Oh, you had the hockey game. You had the bad hockey game.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. Hockey. Let's bounce back, Harry. What are you doing? You don't have to take NASCAR now. You could save it for later in the week.
We're going to go NBA tonight. We're going to go Sacramento Kings, Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to take De'Aaron Fox over 29.5 points at -106 for the Kings. In their only other matchup versus Minnesota this year, he had 31. Fox has scored 30 or more 5 of the last 7 games. He's led the Kings in scoring 22 of the past 27 games, and Minnesota is one of the worst teams defensively in the league. De'Aaron Fox, over 29.5 for the Kings tonight over the Timberwolves.
That's a lot of points for a team that's playing 30 or more,
5 of the last 7.
Yeah, I get it.
And that doesn't even include 3 weeks ago when he went for 40 a couple times.
Oh, I didn't even remember 3 weeks ago. You're right,
Harry. You should have caveated though, right? Have you gotten a Kings game right this year?
I actually did the other the Kings Jazz game about a week ago. Last Saturday, I got right.
He's the Burger King king. Of course, you got it right.
Brutal.
This is a prop,
though, Brian. Not just the game.
Yeah, I got you. I know they've been screwing you though. So
all right, let me listen to all of them now, brother Brian. Go ahead, you make yours.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the Brewers +102 at the Padres. Look, Corbin Burns pitching tonight. It's been ridiculous. I know we were talking about Cy Young pitchers before. I mean, look at his numbers. Crazy, right? 3 starts, 1 run. His whip is like 0.22. So 30 strikeouts, no walks. And meanwhile, the Padres lineup has been pretty bad the last 7 games. They've lost 5 of the last 7. So the fact you're getting +102 with right now, he's the best pitcher. I mean, I wouldn't take him for Cy Young, but he's been phenomenal. So I just ride the streak here for Burns right now.
All right, Parlay Kid.
All right, yeah, so I did have Whitaker. I did have Whitaker, though, plus 135 to go to the distance, but we didn't do a sharp tank on Thursday because we're not on the pot, but that was going to be mine, so we put it in. We hit That's with right. that, but at the same time, I'm going with hockey parlay tonight, 3-team hockey parlay.
Ooh, wow.
It's +130, so it's not great when you're taking 3 hockey teams, but we're taking the Bruins. They're -330. It's a big line against at Buffalo. We're taking the Leafs -335 at Vancouver, and we're taking the Pens home against the Devils. I think the better teams all win here. It's getting late in the season. The good teams need to win. So let's take that. It's +130 for those 3 to win tonight, Sal.
Interesting. All right. Harry, I've not had good luck. I haven't bet an NBA game in over a month. I've bet the player props. I haven't bet a team. And I don't know why I'm proud to say this, because I'm just as bad on the player props. Yesterday, I had Kelly Olynyk over, what half am I, Harry? Over 16 and a half. Freaking had 3 at halftime, ended up with 10 or something. That's been the way for me. I don't know about this De'Aaron Fox. I get it. Minnesota's defense sucks, everything. 30 points is a lot for a player who might not play the fourth quarter, right? Like, they get blown out a lot, Minnesota. I'm going to pass on that. Parlay Kid. I get where you're coming from here, but this is a Tuesday in April. By the way, we pulled the stats for the Sabres. Since they were terrible, they've been very good in terms of making money for the bettors, and they beat me on Saturday too. God forbid. I think the Pens win 2 in a row against the Sabres. So I'm going to stay away from that. Brother Brian, I'm with you. I'll go with the hot hand on the hill there for the Brewers. What did it say, +102?
+102. I thought you were gonna not pick any of ours after last week. That would have made sense.
No. You guys have been good. You've been good on the extrapoints.com.
Those have been better.
Free picks every day. What kind of podcasts are on there, Jim Cunningham? It's crazy. There's Extra Points. There's the Betting Academy. You can learn a lot from Gina Paradiso. Laugh Lines. Yes, that's coming up. We got Sean Green on tonight. And -3. Twice a
lemon
week.
Lemon pepper parlay. Card Wars.
Martin Weiss is all the place. Card Wars, yes, with Paul LaDuca and Caleb Keller. They're going to try to make me money buying and selling cards. They go 4 for 4 yesterday? This first half bets?
Possibly.
He's been pretty good with those, right, lately? Those first
like
half
three
bets?
Three favorites in the first half, and then the Grizzlies, I think, in the first half. Which one?
Right? Yeah, the Grizzlies. Yep, they covered.
Yeah. All right, Brother Bri, you're at the Brother Bri, right?
At the Brother Bri. Just been busy. My daughter's sports is really busy right now. So she had her first basketball tournament ever the other day. It was okay. She played okay.
What were the stats, Bri?
She in the first 2 games, she
had 37 points. She played okay.
Five of nine from the field. She's a very good shooter. Like, for her age, but she's still a little timid. My most impressive thing, she had a breakaway lefty finger roll for a 10-year-old girl. I thought
it was pretty good.
It was pretty great.
Excellent.
Yeah, Bri, would it help if an obese man in a gorilla costume was rooting her on?
It would maybe motivate her a little bit more. I mean, I did, like, for Saturday, I spent about an hour car ride driving home just yelling at her. So,
oh, good.
I know the Parlay Kid's done that probably many times with the kids when they were little. But
God.
You know, yeah. I wonder what if it'd be a good investment to start a ride share of for kids who just don't want to ride home with their parents from these terrible events.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, oh, just like a positive reinforcement the whole time back from the Uber driver or whatever we would call it.
I couldn't tell you how many times in the car she said she can't wait till she's up for adoption. I couldn't tell you. It was like 25 times. Tell
us. I think you told us. You basically
probably like
25
times, but you know.
Wow.
We ended it positively in the last like three or four minutes of the car ride.
That's good. That's when it counts. I had a my boy Harrison had a baseball game, a game, and I get to the field and I'm one of the assistant coaches, probably three assistant coaches. And then Mike does a great job. He's the head coach of the team. And I get to the field and it's hot. It's never this hot out here. It's like 85 degrees. So I'm wearing a t-shirt and the coach hands me a t-shirt and it's for the assistant coaches and it's got the team. It's the Padres. It's the, whatever the Manhattan Beach must, whatever it is league. I'm like, oh, okay, good. So I have nowhere to change except for right there in front of the dugout. So I'm going to take my shirt off and I go to do this. And Harrison, my seven-year-old, is like, oh, no, Dad, please don't do that right now. Please don't do that. I was like, well, we're parked three blocks away. I don't want to walk to the car. He's like, yeah, just wear the UCLA shirt. I don't care. Just please don't wear it. I'm like, no, I'm doing it. I took the shirt off. I sucked my gut in. I almost got like I cramped up for the next hour sucking my gut in, changing the shirt. But Harrison had to look away.
So
yeah.
Good.
Okay. Parlay Kid, you're at the Chalk Talker.
At the Chalk Talker. And yeah, we got, it's weird when I talk about football at this point of the year. So it's kind of strange. Yeah. But speaking of football, we're about a week away from the NFL draft. That's going to be a great night. Really looking forward to that next week, too.
Single digits, nine days away. Yes, we're going to have some experts on to talk about that third pick, which is really the one that's going to throw everything out of whack, right? We know it's Lawrence. Seems we know like it's Zach Wilson. Is it Justin Fields third? Is it Trey Lance? Who's it going to be? It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. We'll talk. Harry, you're at AAO Harry.
At AAO Harry. Also check out my other work and podcasts and articles at bestbetcorner.com.
I have something. I don't know what the hell's going on here. I almost think someone's playing a joke on me. But Jim, will you pull up the video I sent you? So when I go to text, I'm going to show you what happens when I go to text the word God. And if you write, oh my God, like there is no God. Okay, this is a text chain we're on. Go ahead, Jim, play it. Watch what happens when I text the word God. Oh, there it is. Oh my God. It goes to Harry. It changes to Harry every single time I go to God. So, Harry, you're not smart enough to get in my phone and do this when I'm not looking, but look at that. G-O-D, and it automatically defaults to Harry.
That is insane.
Listen, don't underestimate me. Don't underestimate me.
Oh, you're God?
Don't underestimate me. I am smart. Maybe I am smart enough.
Harry being God, though, makes sense, right, for the last 2 years, what's happened?
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks, God. Joel, what do you think of that? Is that insane or what? I have to get a new phone, right?
It only makes sense.
Joel, how much can we sell that phone for?
Harry, you are ominous. You're an ominous person.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the nicest. Sal, I had a similar issue with that where, you know, the autocorrect kept changing stuff. But then I was like, so I shut off autocorrect eventually. And then I realized I was just really spelling everything wrong. So then I had to put it back on. Yeah, then I put
but
it back on.
But, Bri, it's not even the same.
I know.
It's not even in the same neighborhood. Like, it's not three letters off. It's not even on the keypad. It's not. Like, what the hell's going on? Why am I typing God? It says Harry.
God Gagnon.
God Gagnon, there you go.
That's a good nickname. I think maybe that should stick for Harry's.
You know what?
Nickname
it's been here. Weeks since you had a new nickname. I think that's a good one. All right,
I'm at G-squared.
Sal. Watch me on Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Go to extrapoints.com where you can get all your free picks and all your sports gambling podcasts right there. Jim Cunningham, the eyes are one. Jim Cunningham, tweeter of the week, right?
Yes, sir. Showtime Boxing Podcast, Twitter of the Week. And yes, it's at Jim Cunningham and the eyes are ones. I think your phone might be replacing God with Harry because it like learned, you know, like people pray and they're like you know, kind of like begging, pleading. And that was probably you texting Harry being like, please stop fucking up these picks.
Yeah.
Like putting them out of order. And then they thought you were talking to God.
Wow. Is someone about to get a big duh here? I hate to end the episode on a big duh.
I'll leave it. I'm holding back.
Maybe it's like, yeah, maybe
you're
right.
You might be right.
Maybe it's like, oh my God, Harry, how did you do? Oh my God, Harry, what are you saying now? But so it's it's taking care of that part for me. It's like, it got confused. I confused it into thinking Harry is the big man in the sky. All right. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds for the Degenerate Trifecta. Jim Cunningham, Joel Solomon, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.